Good morning, you're very welcome, and happy Christmas. We have, what, four more sleeps until Christmas Day, so exciting times. We are also in the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we close out our Advent series going through Ruth. As I said, Christmas is just a few days from now, and we're finishing our Advent series, and I hope that you have enjoyed this series thus far. I've enjoyed studying it and sharing this series with you. Ruth is a beautiful story, a beautiful love story, a beautiful Christmas story, a story that points us to Jesus. And to recap what we have looked at thus far, in week one, we saw that Ruth is the story of a young woman who made a radical commitment of faith to God. And then she journeyed to Bethlehem, where she would give birth to a child who would change the world. That is also the description of Mary, as she will give birth, as she gave birth to Jesus in the Christmas story. In week two, we focused on Boaz and how he took notice of Ruth. We looked at Ruth as a love story and how God used Boaz, a righteous man, who offered kindness, protection, and provision to a young woman in her time of need. This is also a description of Joseph in the Christmas story. And then in week three, we learned that the story of Ruth is also a story of a kinsman redeemer who redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation at great cost to himself. And this is also a description of Jesus in the Christmas story. Now, the beginning of Ruth starts with Naomi, which means pleasant, and she lost everything. Her husband, her sons, no heir, no titles or lands because she's a woman and living in a strange land in Moab. Her life has been emptied of everything that she held dear. Her life was bitter, which is what she wanted to be called, Mara. Bitter. But the rest of Ruth is a beautiful story of God slowly restoring Naomi, even when she did not see it. Through the love story of Boaz and Ruth, Naomi's life was to be drastically changed because of God's grace. And this story will be complete with the birth of a baby, and that is what we will look at today as we end this Advent series and the study of Ruth, and we see how the Christmas story is eternally tied to Ruth's story. Now, the first thing that we learned about, this child, is that he will be born in the line of Judah. Boaz has just declared himself the legal kinsman redeemer of Naomi's family. And now the elders and all who are present at the town gate respond as witnesses. The witnesses give a prayer, blessing the future of this union and a reminder of a scandalous past. So let's look at this blessed future. In verse 11, then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house, may the Lord make her like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem." So first they pray that the Lord will make Ruth fruitful, just as God blessed Rachel and Leah. Now this is for great fruitfulness in marriage. Rachel and Leah were the two wives of Jacob, plus the two concubines, who would give birth to the 12 tribes of Israel, because they built up the house of Israel. Now the elders pray that Ruth will do this all by herself. They also prayed that Boaz will have good standing in Ephrathah and be famous or renowned in Bethlehem. God answered these prayers in a mighty way. Ruth will bless the world with her children. Her son and one of his descendants will be the kinsman redeemer for the world. He will make a new Israel, a new people of God from every tribe, language, nation, and people in the world. And Boaz will not only be famous in Bethlehem, but over 3,000 years later, people from all over the world will still be talking about him. We are this morning in this church here in Killarney, County Kerry, Ireland, thousands of miles from Bethlehem, yet that little town is of great importance to us because it was of great importance to the Christmas story. The prayer of those town elders were blessed by God in a mighty way. Now, what's this about a scandalous past, though, in verse 12? However, their words also bring back reminders of a scandalous past as we read the other half of the prayer in verse 12. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman. Now, this is also a prayer of fruitfulness, as Judah's son Perez did become a great and numerous people. But the mention of Tamar is a reminder of that scandal. And we can read about that story in Genesis 38. You can do that this afternoon. I'll give it just a sum up of that. Tamar married one of Judah's sons, but her husband, that son, died before she had any children. Does that sound familiar to this story with Ruth? This happened to Ruth too. She married one of Naomi's sons, but he died before they had any children. Well, Judah had two other sons who could have acted as kinsman redeemer for Tamar, but the first refused. And Judah prevented the younger son from fulfilling his responsibility. So Tamar took matters into her own hands. She disguised herself as a prostitute and became pregnant by Judah, her own father-in-law. She then gave birth to twin boys, the most famous of which was Perez. So yes, there was a scandal in the line of Judah. However, there was also great promise, because one of the early prophecies in Scripture predicted that the Messiah would come through the line of Judah. Genesis 49:10 reads, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, not the ruler's staff between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nation is his." Boaz is in the line of Judah, descended from Tamar and Perez, and so his child will be a child of promise. He will be a child with a blessed future, but also with a scandalous past. That's the first thing that we learn about the son born to Ruth and Boaz. He was born in the line of Judah. Born as a redeemer. Well, let's look at verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Now, we're not told that Ruth was barren. Now, she was married to Naomi's son for 10 years and produced no children. And now we learn that the Lord was involved with this birth. The Lord gave her conception, or the Lord enabled her to conceive. Just as in the Christmas story, God intervened in a special way in the birth of this child. But notice the difference between Ruth and the Christmas story. Let's reread verse 13 again. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Now let's read Matthew 1, 24 and 25. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not. He didn't go into her in an intimate way. He knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The two passages are very similar, except for one important fact. Boaz went to Ruth, his wife, and the Lord enabled Ruth to conceive, and she bore him a son. They had sexual relations, but Joseph had no union with Mary until after she gave birth to a son. The Lord enabled Ruth to conceive with Boaz, but the Lord enabled Mary to conceive as a virgin without any help from a husband. That's the big difference there. But the child was also born as a redeemer. It's not just a miraculous conception. But this child born to Ruth and Boaz was born as a child redeemer. Look at verses 14 and 15. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Even though Boaz had already fulfilled the role as kinsman redeemer, notice how this child was also considered a kinsman redeemer for Naomi. It is this child who will renew her life and sustain her in her old age. He is the redeemed son for her daughter-in-law, and he is her grandson, her male heir for her late husband's land and wealth. While the elders prayed for Boaz, the women prayed for Naomi, praying a blessing for her and her future. They prayed for this child to be famous throughout all of Israel, and they praised Ruth, saying she was better than Naomi than seven sons. The expectations were very high for this child, being born in the line of Judah and as a child redeemer. Now the next two verses are some of the sweetest verses in the book of Ruth. When Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Naomi has a son. She went from pleasant to bitter to pleasant again, to overjoyed. The emptiness of her return to Bethlehem has been filled to overflowing with the joy of the son that she cradled in her arms. The baby Obed was cradled on her lap, and she was able to care for her grandson, her child redeemer, the male heir of her family of the line of Judah. But wait, here is the big reveal. The surprise that you might miss if you don't think about it. Obed was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Yes, that David, King David. And so Ruth is not only a story of a child who was born as a redeemer in the line of Judah, but is also the story about the birth of a king. In case you miss it, in verse 17, the story of Ruth ends with an extended genealogy of David, in verses 18 to 22, starting with Perez, son of Judah. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. The book of Ruth begins in the days of the judges, when there was no king, and ends with the birth of David, the first true king of Israel. That's the rest of the story that Boaz and Ruth never knew in their lifetime. But the writer of Ruth knew it and passed that on to us. Now, while we were away during the summer, and in September, October, we were in for a month in Georgia, on a sabbatical, and while on my daily morning walk in Georgia, as I was thinking about this part of the sermon, and then something clicked in my mind, you know, when you get that aha moment, when you realize something for the first time, well, that happened to me. First, let me read the genealogy of Jesus from Matthew's gospel, not all of it, but the part that includes the genealogy from Ruth. Because Matthew knew more of the story than the writer of Ruth knew. since it was about 1,000 years later. So does this in Matthew 1, verse 3 to 6 look familiar? Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram, and Ram, the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab, the father of Nashon, and Nashon, the father of Salmon, and Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. In Matthew's genealogy, there are four women mentioned. Three of them are in these verses. Tamar, whom we've already mentioned, and you can read about that in Genesis 38. So Tamar, Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar. And then there's Ruth, the main character of our Advent series, and Rahab. Who was Rahab? So back to my walking around and thinking about these names in this sermon. Why was Boaz so quick to accept a Moabite woman as his wife? The Moabites were enemies of Israel, yet Boaz didn't hesitate. Why? Here's my aha moment. Because his mother was Rahab. Who was she? If you look at Joshua chapter 2, Rahab was a prostitute who lived inside the walls of the great fortress city of Jericho. Joshua and several spies went into the city to find out the strengths of the city. So in Joshua chapter 6, Rahab hid the spies of Israel from the men of Jericho and helped them escape. So before the final battle of Jericho, when the Lord would destroy the city, Joshua told his men to rescue Rahab and all of her family. And the last verse of chapter 6 tells us, "But Rahab, the prostitute, and her father's household, and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." God preserved the line of Judah through Tamar, who had to trick her father-in-law because the family did not follow God's commands. And he preserved the line of Judah through a prostitute who was saved from destruction because she helped God's people. And she married a Jewish man by the name of Salmon, who was the father of Boaz. Think of this. Boaz grew up hearing the stories of the Battle of Jericho and how his mother, a Gentile, a prostitute, forsook her culture and her profession, her past, gave it all up, and was accepted into God's chosen people, Israel. Boaz, whose mother was not Jewish, Boaz had no problems taking a non-Jew as a wife. He did not see her as an alien, but he saw her as a faithful woman of God. And see, it's all there in the genealogy of Jesus. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus was born into the line of Judah, a line of people with questionable morals. A line of fallen people. Jesus was born into this world of fallen people to be our kinsman redeemer because he was the only sinless one to be this perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is the child born of a miraculous conception, born as our Redeemer in the line of Judah. Jesus, the son of King David. Jesus, the true King of Israel, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So as you see, the book of Ruth truly is a Christmas story. The story of a young woman who made a radical commitment of faith to God, and then journeyed to Bethlehem to give birth to a baby who would change the world. It's the story of a righteous man, Boaz, who offered kindness, protection, and provision to a young woman in need. It's the story of a kinsman redeemer who redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation at great cost to himself. And it is the story of a child in the line of Judah who was born as a redeemer in fulfillment of the prophecies leading up to the Messiah. Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, they didn't know it, but they were part of the greatest story ever told. The story of Christmas and the birth of the Messiah. They were part of the behind the scenes, the backstory that makes the Christmas story possible. We are also part of the ongoing story of Christmas, because that baby born in the manger is our Redeemer. He paid the price for our sins at great cost to himself, yet he did it because he loves us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As the angel told the shepherds that first Christmas Eve, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." That is the story of Ruth. That is the story of Christmas. That is the story of Jesus. Jesus is born. He is our Messiah, our Redeemer, and our King. We're going to close this morning. I know it was a shorter sermon this morning, but we're going to close this morning singing a new song that Lone sang at the carol service. We sang it last Sunday, but we'll sing it again, and it's called "Sing We the Song of Emmanuel." And I'll just read the first verse, and then we'll go sing it. "Sing we the song of Emmanuel, this, the Christ who was long foretold. Lo, in the shadows of Bethlehem, promise of dawn, now our eyes behold. God most high in a manger laid, lift your voices, and now proclaim. Great and glorious, love has come to us. Join now with the hosts of heaven." Happy Christmas.